morning, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We live in a day and age in where we're inundated with options. Karen and I were recently putting a small cabinet into our bathroom, main bath of our house. And as we got to the place of doing cabinets, couldn't believe how many options there were for colors. They have all these various stained colors, and they look a little bit different if it's on cherry or if it's on walnut. Or if it's on ash, and so you're given one page of all what it looks like if it's on oak, and one page if it looks like if it's on cherry, and another page if it's on ash. And now, of course, the new thing is painting those wood cabinets. Going back into some of the older days in which cabinets used to be painted, and that's come back again. And so you have all these options to choose from, and then when you get the countertops, wow, it's beyond limitation, it seems like. Go shopping. Boy, all the options that are available to you. Go down the snack aisle one time. I never knew until Friday night's youth activity. I go to both the senior activities and the youth activities. I become all things to all men. I may win some. And I never knew there was Oreos with Pop Rocks in them now. Boy, what an exciting experience. And that's what an old guy like me needs, an Oreo with a Pop Rock in it. So that's probably the most excitement I had all day. I was eating one of those. You want to buy an SUV? Don't they all kind of look alike? But there are so many options out there. And we live in a day full of options, and I'm sure you have some of those experiences yourselves. Well, in Christianity, we have two options. In fact, a friend of mine developed a slogan a number of years ago. There's two options on the shelf, pleasing God and pleasing self. The reality of it is, in the Christian life, is not that we have all kinds of options. It really boils down to just two. I wonder, what option are you choosing? When you're confronted by an individual, when you're confronted by a situation, are you walking in the Spirit and pleasing God, or are you walking in the flesh and pleasing yourself? Sometimes life brings us problems. We're confronted by an unknown situation. By personal example, sorry to bring it to your attention, but I just informed the Martins they've got a flat tire on their car here this morning. They said they heard something when they pulled in the driveway. Well, you can handle that in one of two different ways. You can get really upset and walk in the flesh, or you can just trust in the Lord. And Brother Martin's response is, well, it's only a flat. And so there's a couple ways you can respond to a situation like that. And I'm wondering, in life, how are you responding? When an event, when a person, when something is said to you, do you walk in the Spirit? Where do you walk in the flesh? I want to look at that this morning and flesh that out from Galatians chapter 5. Let's begin with having a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And your Son remarked that to his followers. And the reality of it is, when it comes to doing right, our flesh doesn't offer any help. In fact, sometimes we just immediately, almost like a knee-jerk reaction, Father, we just follow what our flesh feels like doing, and we respond in a sinful way. And so I pray that through these next couple of messages, we would be caused to stop and to think about what we're doing, and to make sure that we're walking in a way that pleases you. It's not enough, Father, for us just to read our Bible and sometime throughout the day. You want us to live your word. You want us to respond properly to your Spirit. You want us to obey. And so, Father, I just pray you'd really help us in this message today. to see the two options and then the result of living in one of those two options and then make the needed changes in our lives. May it not be just good enough to hear the word. You said a wise person not only hears, but becomes a doer. May we become doers today of your word, which we hear proclaimed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 here, I want to point out 2 points to you today. Number one, you have to examine your conduct. I want to know this, are you walking or are you falling? Or we might say it this way, are you walking or are you failing? You're committing sin. Really what we're doing here is we're focusing on what we're doing with the opportunities that we have and the situations we have. You might make a comment like this, well, I'm either walking in the Spirit or I'm not. And I don't think we're really getting to the bottom line when we say that, but I want you to notice 2 verses here, just in brevity. Look at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Again, our Lord Jesus Christ, as He was about to go the cross of Calvary, was with His disciples in the garden, and specifically with some of His inner circle disciples, which would include Peter and James and John. And He encourages them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation. For the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is... Boy, when it comes to doing right, our spirit is willing. Peter says, I'll go with thee even unto death. But when it comes down to it, our flesh has nothing to help us, nothing to offer us to help. The flesh is really weak when it comes to doing right. And so there's only 2 options, and sometimes I think we have the idea, well, I either walk in the Spirit or I don't. Look what it says down in verse number 25. This I say then, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? If you're a Christian, then you also ought to be walking in the Spirit. So some would say, well, I'm either walking in the Spirit or I'm not. As I look across the congregation, Jake, I notice your wife's either expecting or she's not. What is it, Jake? I think she's expecting, isn't it? She's kind of great with child at this time. If I look at your neighbor there, Brother Berman, I'd say that his wife's probably not expecting. There's only 2 options there. You're either with child or you're not, correct? Well, you know, I don't think we really go far enough when we say I'm either walking in the Spirit or not. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in your flesh. You know, I don't think we always say it to the full extent or think about really what we're doing. Sometimes we say, well, I know I'm not doing what I should be doing. Well, then what are you doing? Then you're sinning. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Again, I think what we do is we kind of try to soften what we're doing or not doing. And we're trying to make it out that it's not so bad. But I want us to really understand this truth here this morning. We need to examine our conduct. And are we walking in the Spirit or are we walking in the flesh? And this comes to when we have a flat tire, when we're faced with a co-worker that's being nasty to us, when we're dealing with a family member or a friend at church or a neighbor next to us that won't cut his lawn the way you want him to cut it or trim his trees back the way you want him to trim his trees back. Are you going to walk in the Spirit in those situations or are you going to walk in the flesh? There's 2 options on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. And sometimes in our Christian walk, it's not just, well, I'm not doing what I should be doing. Well, if you're not doing what you should be doing, then you're sinning against the Lord. And this again, he's saying, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Look how the verses go on here. I want you to notice a little bit further here in Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 16. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, if I'm obeying the Holy Spirit, situation comes up in my life. I'm confronted by a situation at work. I was just told that one of my coworkers has lied about me. Boy, the flesh says, all right, I'm going to get back even with them. Flesh is, I'm going to go yell at them. The flesh is, I'm going to tell somebody, well, guess what I know about them. But if I walk in the Spirit, if I stop and say, wait a second, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to this? By the way, he has experience, doesn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ came across people that confronted him. The Lord Jesus Christ came across people that lied about him. In fact, they had to find two to lie about him when it came to the crucifixion. And in all of this, he what? He sinned not. In the situation, life in which he was confronted with, he didn't take that opportunity to get even with them. In fact, here's what his spirit was. Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they don't know the full extent of what they're doing, your Father. Why? Because they're not born again. They're not one of your children. They don't have the Spirit convicting them. And so we have to come to this understanding. If we walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to be more proactive here. Look what it says in verse number 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Just take a second here. Keep your hands here. Turn a little bit further toward the front of your Bible to the book of Romans, and let's look at the 7th chapter, Romans chapter 7. So you're in Galatians, but just before that, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we want to look at Romans chapter 7. This is written by the Apostle Paul, one that we would probably refer to as the greatest of the New Testament apostles. Pardon us for saying that, but just because of his testimony, because of the volume of his writing, because of what we've heard regarding his life. And this is what Paul says regarding himself in verse number 19, starting with verse number 19 in Romans chapter 7. For the good that I would, remember, the Spirit indeed is willing. For the good that I would, his Spirit was willing. I what? I do not. The flesh is weak. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, the things I don't want to be doing, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin. He says, sin's dwelling in me. Again, it's not just, well, I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. What Paul is saying, I'm sinning. When it comes down to it, it's sin. Look what he says then in verse 21. I find then a law. You know, you've heard of Murphy's Law. What does he say? I'm finding a truth. I'm finding a principle here. That when I would do good, evil is present. You say, why do I have such problems when I see so-and-so? Or why do I have such difficulty when I'm faced with this trial? Why is it that when I have an opportunity to do good, it seems so easy to do wrong? He says, well, here's the principle that whenever I want to do what's right, evil is right there with me. What's the evil? His own flesh. You see, folks, there's two options on the shelf. There's not 1,000 options. It's not like walking down the cookie aisle at Walmart. It's really only two. Pleasing God or pleasing self. We have to examine our conduct of what we're doing. Are we walking in the Spirit or are we falling or failing and committing sin? Let's go back to the book of Galatians again. Back to Galatians chapter 5. So we've examined the conduct, and I want you to continue to do that. I think you need to do that all throughout this week. You come home from work, and you're confronted with a situation. You've got to learn to walk in the Spirit, not walk in the flesh. I understand you might be tired, you might be hungry, you might have had a rough day at work. That doesn't mean you just carry that over into your home life. You need to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. When your mate comes home from work, you've really got to guard yourself how you're going to act and react. When you walk in the door at church, I know we're amongst Christians, right? Everyone just gets along in perfect harmony. We're like a choir here. I wish it was that way, and God wants it to be that way. In fact, that was part of Christ's high priestly prayer. He says, I pray that they will be one even as we are one. I pray that they'll work together in unity just like we do. The reality of it is we've got to keep checking ourselves. Our flesh gets in the way. Our personal desires get in the way. We see someone, we want to turn away. We don't want to talk to them. We want to walk through a different door. We don't want to have fellowship with them. Let me ask you, are you walking in the Spirit right then, or are you walking in the flesh? Again, when an incident comes up at work, we shouldn't expect a whole lot out of the unsaved, should we? And so we have to have the realization, all right, they may be walking in the flesh, but that doesn't mean I can walk in the flesh too. If you got a clogged drain, you ever have a clogged drain, maybe a kitchen sink, and you got a clogged drain at the kitchen sink, you say, well, I got a clogged drain. I'm gonna take some of the leftovers and add some water to it and pour that down the drain. That'll fix it. Would you do that? Or would you get something that would attack the clog? You know, what we do sometimes is we add more flesh to the already problematic situation. Somebody's treating us in the flesh, and our response is to treat them back in the flesh. And what we've done, in a sense, is we've got a clogged drain, and we've added more contaminant to it. As a Christian, I want us to stop and think. All right, I'm to be walking in a way that pleases God. And I'm either pleasing God or pleasing myself. And so let's examine, first of all, our conduct. Secondly, then let's evaluate the product. Are you producing a work, a fleshly work, or are you producing a spirit fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit? This isn't really looking at what we're doing. This is looking at what we are seeing and what others are seeing. Look at the works of the flesh. This is what Galatians goes on to talk about. He says, walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But then he goes on to say what some of the lusts of the flesh bring forth. He starts with verse number 19, for the works of the flesh are manifest, they're seen. That's why I made the point the way I did. We're focusing now on what we're seeing. This is what we see: adultery, fornication, the next verse, idolatry, witchcraft. But there's a couple I want to point out to specifically that I think will help us. What about hatred? That means you're making somebody your enemy. Do you know sometimes we do that to family members? Sometimes we do that to other Christians. Sometimes we do that to a neighbor. We actually make them like they're an enemy. Or we do that to an unsaved person. Isn't it a shame that a Christian would make an unsaved person their enemy? He says, when you make someone out to be your enemy, when you make it look like such and such is an enemy, you're walking in the flesh. So if you want to know, all right, am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the Spirit? Is there hatred? You say, I don't hate them. I just don't want to ever see them. I don't want to ever talk to them. He goes on to say variance. The word variance has the idea to debate with, to argue, to be contentious with. So whenever you're debating, whenever you're contentious, whenever you're arguing with someone, you're then walking in the flesh. You're not walking in the Spirit. Next word he says is emulations, but I want to focus on the next one. The next one is wrath, as the idea to boil over. Does something come into your life and you just become agitated? Or look at the next one, strife. The word strife here has the idea to seek to divide. Meaning, I'm seeking for my own self-interest. I want to divide from them. I don't ever want to talk to them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to be involved in their lives. Well, then you have strife. Because you're seeking to divide. And whenever that's true in your life, you're walking in the flesh. Now remember, when you're walking in the flesh, you can't do the things that you should be doing. These are contrary the one to the other. They're battling each other. So I can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. You cannot serve who and who? You cannot serve God and mammon, the Scripture says. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other, but you can't serve both. Again, dear Christian, there's two options on the shelf. You're either pleasing God or you're pleasing self. If there's hatred, you've made somebody your enemy. If there's wrath, you get boiling over when you think about them, when you talk about them. If you have variance, you debate about them or to them. Or if there's strife, you're seeking to divide, then you're pleasing self. You're walking in the flesh. You hear somebody gossiping about somebody. Did you hear about so-and-so? And you, whatever it is. How do you know that? I read it, we're friends on Facebook. Sounds like it's the only place you're friends. So that means you're friends on Facebook, but now you're taking the information you can get off Facebook and sharing it with others. You probably shouldn't be on Facebook. Because what happens? You're walking in the flesh when you're on that social media. I'm not saying everyone's doing that. I'm not saying you're always doing that. But if the reason you're on someone's page is to find out something about them, then you're on there for the wrong reason. Got really quiet in here. Isn't that interesting? We're either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Let's look at the flip side of it. I want us to go further. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. Again, these are the actions, the attitudes, the thoughts that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. And again, these are contrary. They're totally different. There's not a gray area. I'm not sure where it is. Remember we were talking about hatred? The works of the flesh is hatred. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Oh boy, it doesn't look the same, does it? One's hatred, the other is love. So in the situations of life that I'm confronted with, or the people of life that God has sovereignly put into my life, that I'm either producing a work of my flesh, which looks like this, it looks like hatred, it looks like variance, it looks like wrath, it looks like strife, or I'm allowing the Spirit to produce something in me, and it looks like love, joy, peace. Here's another opposite that doesn't attract: long-suffering. Look back up at the works of the flesh again. The work of the flesh is strife. You're dividing. The work of the Spirit is you're willing to be long-suffering with. You're willing to put up with their faults, their weaknesses. And by the way, don't we have some too? Are we perfect? Think of Christ. Was He perfect? He was, wasn't He? Think of some of His disciples. Take a moment. Think of some of His disciples and some of the things in which they did. When the Lord said, I've talked about this before, but when the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me. Let me ask you a question. Did everybody get up and say, Judas, I knew it was you. What did they ask? Is it me? Wait a second. So that meant Christ, even though he knew who Judas was and he knew what Judas was going to do, didn't treat him differently. Why is that? Because he walked in the Spirit. He didn't walk in the flesh. So see, dear friend, the way we walk is going to be seen. It's going to be manifest, just like the flesh. So we ought to be seeing these kinds of things in our lives. We ought to be seeing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Not hatred, variance, wrath, and strife. We ought to be seeing something different in our lives. Remember, there's only two options on the shelf. Pleasing God and pleasing self. Peter, let's examine his life a little more closely. Remember one time he cut off Malchus' ear? Let me ask you, was he walking in the Spirit or was he walking in the flesh? He was walking in the flesh at that time, wasn't he? What about when he cursed and swore, when he talked to him about being one of Christ? Was he walking in the Spirit or was he walking in the flesh? Walking in the flesh. You can identify it in somebody else, can't you? What about when he preached and 3,000 souls are saved? Was he walking in the Spirit or was he walking in the flesh? Yeah, we can say, boy, I can tell he's walking in the Spirit. What about David? David's called a man, what? A man after God's heart. But at one time, wasn't he after Bathsheba's? What do you think when he was on that rooftop? Was he walking in the Spirit? Having a personal time with the Lord? Or was he up there to feed his flesh? You see, folks, we can evaluate that in the lives of others, and what we need to do is evaluate it in our own life. When I look at Joseph's brothers and the way they treated Joseph, I would say, you know what? It's pretty manifest. There's hatred there. There's division there. They don't want to be with them. There's strife. That they're walking in the flesh. What about Joseph years later when he meets up with his brothers? I'm sure evil was present with him. Get even. But instead, what did he do? He said, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And instead of pleasing self, he pleased God. He walked in the Spirit. Again, what we need to do as born-again Christians, we need to begin to evaluate our lives. Let's look at a couple examples right here in the passage of Scripture. We're talking about walking in the Spirit, so we don't walk in the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. If you're walking in the flesh, it looks like this. It looks hateful. It looks like you're sowing strife and discord. You gossip. All of that's walking in the flesh. You're never talking about negative things about someone else to another person unless you're walking in the flesh. The Spirit will never lead you to do that. But you're walking in the Spirit. You have love, joy, peace. You're gentle. You're good to people. Well, let's evaluate it in verse number 15. But if ye bite and devour one another. He says if there's little things going on, you're biting and devouring one another. Look what he goes on to say. Take heed, guard yourself, that ye be not... You know what? Sometimes we get consumed with each other. We get consumed with the person we're angry with. It begins to consume our thinking. We begin to devise plans to get even with them. We begin to separate them from other people that like them. We sow discord among the brethren. You know what happens here? We get consumed with each other. And the word consume means to expend your energy while the world continues to die and go to hell. we're pouring our energies into division and strife and discord. And the bigger problem, people are going to hell. And we're not doing anything about that. And so we're becoming consumed. He says, you've got to guard yourself. He's giving us an example here. Sometimes you get a couple players on the basketball court and or on the soccer field or on the, in the hockey rink. I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it in Dave McFarland's life there. And Dave, you haven't met it, man. You get in that aggressive sport of hockey and somebody hits you and what do you want to do? You want to lay them out. So that all of a sudden, you know what? You get consumed with that player and not the game. And you don't get consumed with scoring and winning the game. You get consumed with getting even with that other player on the ice. Well, sometimes what happens is, while people are dying and going to hell, we're consumed with our time and energy of getting even with somebody. And instead of pleasing God, we're pleasing self. I recently saw a picture of a fox going after a rabbit. And just as the fox gets the rabbit, you know, they're kind of consumed with each other. And just as the fox gets the rabbit, guess what? A big old eagle comes down and gets them both. You've got two that are consumed with each other. And you see the eagle coming. Sometimes in Christianity, we get consumed with each other. We get walking in the flesh. And we get consumed with each other and don't realize what else is going on around us, which ought to be for the good. Basically, what's he saying in verse 15 is don't let your differences destroy you or others. There's only two options on the shelf. Look what he goes on to say then in the next verse. This I say then. When you're tempted to bite and devour and become consumed with each other, what's the remedy? What's the balm? What's the medicine I need to take? You need to stop and begin to walk in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. You need to allow the Spirit to produce that fruit in your life. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. So you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at the last two verses, verses 25 and 26. If you live in the Spirit, if you're a Christian, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let's listen to the Spirit. Let's obey Him. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you should not be provoking each other. You should not be envying each other. Do you ever have a child that talks back to a parent? Let me ask you, are they walking in the flesh or are they walking in the Spirit? Do you ever have a child that takes something from another child? No, not your grandchildren, right? Never. Boy, we got a lot of sin going on in our nursery back there, don't we? What happens? They're walking in the flesh. In fact, they need to learn when something is becoming an idol in their heart and they're wanting something so badly they're willing to hurt someone else in order to get it. What should they be choosing? They should be choosing sharing and enjoying one another. Instead, they're tussling over a toy. You have a coworker lies about you at work. That's hurtful, isn't it? It may even put your job in jeopardy. Might it? What's it say in Hebrews? It says He'll never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. You say, but pastor, I might lose my job over this. I've got to tell others not to listen to him. I've got to make him look like dirt so they don't listen to all the stories that he tells about me. If you're doing that, are you walking in the Spirit or are you walking in the flesh? Are you trusting God or are you trusting in yourself? You see, there's only two options on the shelf, pleasing God and pleasing self. And what we need to do throughout life, this happens in husband-wife relationships, this happens in child-parent relationships, this happens in neighbors and co-workers, this happens in life. And we've got to stop and think. Am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking in the flesh? And guess what? There are two options on the shelf, pleasing God and pleasing self. Listen, and you have the choice of which one you're going to make. That's why he says, let us make this choice. I want you to know if I would go around this entire room, I could say of every individual, you've got two options on the shelf. And some are making the right choices. I want you to know your lack of peace and your lack of joy isn't because of somebody else, it's because of you. You're making the wrong choice. Because if you make the right choices, God will give you a peace that passeth all understanding. And the reason as a Christian you don't have the peace isn't because of that person, it's because of you making the wrong choices. Because if you choose God, He will bless your life. And there will be a peace which passeth all understanding. So let's look at the two options and recognize this. There are two choices. Which one will you make? Let's pray. Which one are you making? I understand this. Sometimes we walk in the flesh and sometimes we walk in the Spirit. In some relationships, we walk in the Spirit. In other relationships, we walk in the flesh. Well, there's a problem there. We're being hypocritical. We're divided. Even the Word of God talks about in James about somebody who's divided. They're unstable in all their ways. You're treating some people like gold and treating other people like dirt. You're handling some situations in righteousness and you're handling other situations in sin. As a Christian, we've got to recognize there's just two options. And it's up to me to make the right choice. How I'm going to treat my husband, I'm going to treat my wife, I'm going to treat my children, I'm going to treat my parents. I'm going to treat my friends at church. I'm going to treat my friends that don't go to our church. How am I going to treat my neighbor? How am I going to treat my coworker? How am I going to handle the situations of life? If you recognize in your life you're struggling, you're making some wrong choices, and you would just appreciate me praying for you, won't you? I'd just like you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I am making some wrong choices. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're admitting it. Now what you need to do, dear friend, is confess it. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord what He would say about it. And in the right situations, you need to go to that individual. Man, I've been gossiping about you. I've been sinning against you. I've been dividing. I've been attacking you. You need to get that right. You got a choice to make. May we make the choices that please the Lord. Dear friend, if you're not a child of God, you got a choice to make. There's only two choices. There's a choice of trusting in God or trusting in yourself. That's what it all boils down to. Both parts of the lesson really boil down to trusting in God or trusting in self. If you're trusting in yourself to get to heaven, dear friend, the Word of God teaches us you'll not get there. There's only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life, and it's found in Jesus Christ alone. If you're not positive you're on your way to heaven, would you just raise your hand and let me pray for you? Just raise it up. You don't have to raise it up far. Just would you pray for me? I'm not 100% sure. Dear Father, we recognize our spirit indeed is willing. Man, we often want to do what's right, want to please you, and our flesh is so weak. Father, there's some that are biting and devouring and becoming consumed. Co-worker, neighbor, friend, or supposed friend, Christian, should be a friend but not. We're becoming consumed with them. We're walking in the flesh. Father, we can't do it. We tried. We tried to make changes. We apologized before. We said, I'm sorry. We asked their forgiveness. We went back to our old way. Father, we confess. Would you help us? Would you help us change? Well, I recognize evil is always present with me. I also recognize you're always present with me. So there's this constant battle of evil always being there and good or great or grace always being there. So, Father, I just pray that even today we would yield ourselves, surrender all. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play a song, I